Blog Talk Radio.
What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free, and not let Satan have one more? What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate? If his people prayed, and those who bear his name would only seek his face, yeah, and turn from their own ways. And what would happen if we prayed for those raised up to lead the way? Then maybe kids in school could pray, unborn children see light of day. What if the life that we pursue came from a hunger for the truth? What if the family turned to Jesus, stopped asking Oprah what to do? What if his people prayed, and those who bear his name would only sing his face, yeah, and turn from their own ways? He said that he would hear. His promise has been made. He'd answer loud and clear, yeah. If only we would pray.
Conversation, just press 1. And now here's our host, Wild Bill.
Hello, Starla. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing exceptionally well. Thank you for asking. I want to thank everyone that's called into the show tonight and taking your time to listen either on the internet or calling in on the phone. And just want to remind everyone it doesn't cost anything to register for the chat room. To be able to post comments in the chat room, you do have to register on the Blog Talk Radio show. So just wanted to let everyone be aware of that. Also tonight, I've confessed this before, but when I come up with the topics for the radio shows, a lot of time I don't see the big picture of what it is that I'm wanting to actually discuss or how it goes into, you know, what I'm wanting to share. And as most of you know, most of what I share and what we do on this show has to do with things that, you know, God is dealing with me spiritually, where he's drawing me to be closer or, you know, trying to enlighten me a little bit, which that's, my wife can tell you, that's a pretty hard process. Enlightening me is one of those things that it almost takes the back of Congress and a nuclear bomb going off in my head for me to to get the big picture. But it was really funny today when I was sitting there praying about the show. It finally fit together. And I posted on Facebook that anyone that has a scripture, anyone that has a song that they'd like to sing a little chorus to or something like that, something to go along with the topic, as well as we're taking prayer requests and we're going to pray over these requests. But part of where this is all going with me today was I realized it's really easy for people that, you know, we call ourselves Christians, we're walking by faith, you know, we're trying to make sure that we make heaven our home, we're trying to be more like Jesus, you know, we're taking the journey, you know, through scripture and trying to apply it to our life. And it's real easy sometimes to let some things become words. And what I'm talking about is, you know, it's just like, you know, families, you know, like before they leave, I say, well, I love you and I love you too, or, you know, hanging up on the phone. And I don't want it to be to where I make the comment where someone tells me that there's something going on in my life and I say, well, I pray for you, and then I forget about it. And I know that there's been times, and I confess that there's been times that I have done that. There's been times where I've had things that were serious to me, and I've requested prayer in the church, and then I didn't really take it serious to make prayer the priority for the situation myself. And so it's more than just a word thing. I mean, I understand it. Sometimes we just get lax. It's not that we don't have faith, and it's not that we don't really believe what we're saying. It's just sometimes we really just, I don't know, I get really lax. And I was sharing with Sala today, you know, we've talked before about, you know, World War II and when we dropped the bomb on Japan and, you know, the suffering, should we have done it and everything. But it's like the Lord reminded me today that, you know, war is an ugly thing. And people way above my pay grade are the ones that decide in this country when we should go to war and what action should be taken. But it's strange to me how, you know, in youth, that's a time where we're full of emotion. We have so much feeling and passion, and it drives so much of everything that we do, even above common sense a lot. And our young is who that we send out to fight our wars. We use their passion. We use their gullibility. We use their, you know, we say these things like, you know, we're fighting this war for God and country. Well, in truth, they're fighting the war for country. Because if we look at the wars during the Crusades and everything, those were where one person thought their faith was more than someone else's, and so they would come in and they, you know, these wars were fought, you know, in the name of Christianity. And some of this I can understand it may have been necessary, but, you know, a lot of it, you know, really if you look at the war, there are no real winners, but it does have to be fought. There is a definite need to it. You can look in the Bible. And I was reminded today of the scripture that lets us know that we battle not against flesh and blood. And it goes on to talk about how we battle the principalities of darkness. It lets us know it's a spiritual warfare and everything like this. And it's kind of like this song was saying here, prayer is where we take the battle to Satan. And I kind of had this feeling last week of different things that are going on in my life. And I see more attacks against people in ministry than I've ever seen before. You can tell that they get despondent, there's depression, there's illness, there's spirits of affliction, there's, you know, just sometimes it gets to where you put three people in a room and they're all speaking a different language. There's just confusion in the midst. And, you know, we understand that principalities is kind of like, you know, dominions. Satan has his little dominions. He's got these spirits that have dominion over not just areas, but dominions over, they have these spirits of depression and affliction and things that go forth. And, you know, I've kind of made up my mind, and I was sharing this with my wife earlier, that I'm going to draw a line in the sand. And I hope that this inspires some other people to do the same thing, that we just say, hey, I've had it. I'm going to make it to where these words are not just words, but I'm going to take this spiritual warfare to another level. And the Lord brought me a sermon here not long ago. It's funny how time flies when you're getting older. But it was, you know, with David and Goliath, and God's army was in battle array. They were ready. There was an enemy before them. They had their armor. They had their weapons. They were ready. God had already told them that they were going to take the land. It was theirs. But yet they were not taking the battle to the enemy. And what I don't want to do is be in battle array. I don't want to have my armor. I don't want to have my enemy in sight. I don't want to have my objective of what I'm supposed to reach, that I know what I'm supposed to achieve, and sit there and wait for somebody else to come and be spiritual enough to fill the gap and say, whoa, wait a minute, that giant over here, let me take him. Because we all have to be willing to fill the gap and the void. There is a warfare going on, and Satan is not letting up. His time is growing short, and he has three things in mind. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy the things in your life that God wants to give you. Nothing that Satan has for you is good. It may seem like it, because what he does is he feeds flesh. And, you know, when you get to reading about the Bible, it makes it clear we've got to put our flesh under subjection. You know, we have lust of the flesh, you know, cares of the flesh. Our flesh is going to return to dust. All the things about flesh let us know that there's going to be some things that's natural that's going to happen. This flesh is corruptible. You know, it's not everlasting. It's not eternal. And that's where I know within myself sometimes everything is on things for my flesh. You know, the Bible, we like to quote the scripture where it talks about my mind is just as blank as could be right here, but where God, you know, if we seek him first, he's going to add these things to us. And I don't know how many times you do it, but I know many times with me, I'm seeking the things first, and I'm looking for God to justify a way to make those things happen. Instead of seeking God first and understanding that he sees all, he's the author and the finisher of my faith, he has the big picture that I cannot understand. And I was reminded how, you know, I've seen this before where people would be pushed off of a boat in water and they'd be sitting there kicking and screaming and floundering and, help me, I can't swim. And someone finally tells them, stand up. And they stand up and the water's only up to their chin. And so a lot of times I think I do a lot of kicking and screaming and floundering where if I just listen to the voice that says stand up and stand still and wait on me and seek me. You know, it's not by chance, I don't think, that the Bible says, you know, seek and ye shall find, ask and it shall be given, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. And then in the very next scripture goes, it says, for he that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh shall find. And then when it knocks, the door is going to be opened unto him. You know, the scripture tells us we have not because we ask not. And so when you get to looking at prayer requests, we need to realize just exactly what this is. This is a request that we're taking to the Almighty God. We got direct line to the throne room. We don't have to go through no priest. We don't have to go through sister and brother so-and-so in the church. It's a time for us to kneel down, to go before the throne of the Almighty God and pray our petition to him for things that we really want to see done. And we do this in faith. And we're not talking about a lot of faith. The Bible says we got faith as of a grain of mustard seed that we can speak to mountains and they can be moved and cast into the sea. And he's also given us grace mathematical formula. I love God's math. It says any two or three coming together in my name, he's going to be in the midst. Jesus is going to be in the midst. And I think there's another scripture that says where any two or three come together in my name asking anything that it shall be done. He didn't say if you ask Acts 2:38 or if you ask Matthew 28:19 or if you ask, you know, something about, you know, witnessing to someone or something like that. This is if you ask anything. And I think we all understand that God is not a big ATM machine. But I think that, you know, when our desires of our heart or what comes out of our mouth is the desires of our heart, when those are godly things, our requests and petitions before God are going to be godly things. It's going to be things that's going to give God pleasure to do in our lives. He wants us to lean on him. He tells us that his yoke is easy. His burden is light. You know, to cast our cares upon him. And I don't know how many times that I'm sitting there and I'm struggling, I'm carrying my burdens, and I'm like, Lord, I just don't think I can make it anymore. I don't understand. And then all of a sudden it's like I realized that all I had to do was just let go. Give it to him. He's willing and able, and he wants to carry us. He wants to lead us. He wants us to have more than what we have. And I'm sorry I've taken up so much time on this here. I do have some prayer requests that I want to bring here. Brother McElhaney, my pastor, he's a counselor, and he does work here in the Tennessee area in the group that he's with. they sent him to Haiti this week. And I don't know exactly what his job is that he's having to do there, but I know he's away from family. It's still an area of devastation there. They probably need help for the groups coming in and out dealing with what they're dealing with, not to mention just the people that already live there. Also, I think we need to get more serious as people of faith instead of judging and talking politics of what's going on in Washington and our states and things, is to go and get down on our knees and to pray for our leaders. The Bible tells us that that's one of the things we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray for them. And I've seen it before where people tried to stand up in church to say things that they weren't supposed to say, and the people of God had prayed before service, and those people couldn't open their mouth. And my God has the power to make it so our leaders will become more moral, they become more godly. I don't ever think that we're ever going to see it again where you're going to see spiritual leadership come from this country, because I feel that we're that far into the end time. But I do think that things can be better to what they are right now, that it can become more spiritual. And if the children of God can't take the time to quit talking about these people more and spend more time on our knees praying for God to move on behalf of those people, we can't expect things to change. Also, I want to pray for my children. All of them have had seed of God's truth planted in their life, and I want to pray that the fruit of that Spirit brings forth in their life soon. I'd like to see that soon. I'd like to see a quick work in that. Also, I want to change in my job situation. I want to be able to be in church more. But as I shared with my wife earlier, I'm starting to see that some of these things is what God is using in this program here to get me to see things as I've never seen them before, to understand that, you know, if I die and it's gain for other people and I'm going to heaven, then no one's lost. You know, we get to looking at life and death like death is a bad thing. But, you know, if we really look at what the Bible's saying, this is almost like a proving ground to get ready for where we're planning on going. It's not meant to be something for eternity with this flesh. This flesh is going to die. And so, you know, I'd like to have some health issues taken care of. But more than that, I want to be saved. I want God to have his perfect will in my life. And if anyone else has any prayer requests or something they'd like to say at this time, I'd like you to push 1, and Starla's going to identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. And I've also invited someone from our church to sing a song for us later. And anyone else might have a little song that they'd like to share that Phil would go along with this. I know it's kind of hard to sing into a telephone, and because I know how hard it is to try to be spiritual and speak into a telephone. So, Charlotte, do we have anyone that's got anything to share at this time?
Yes, we have caller 7263. You're on.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Lisa.
Hey.
How are you tonight?
Not too good. Friday, my best friend was raped, and it was somebody that we were close with, that we work with, that we spend every day with, that we go out on Friday nights with, somebody that we trusted, and we've been working with the police all weekend, and we don't know at this time if there's enough physical evidence to charge him. So, right now, the detective has not really given us any hope that there is enough evidence. They were interviewing him tonight, but so far he's denied everything. They did do a recorded phone call with her and him, and he did contradict himself a few times on the phone call, so they are aware that he is lying, but unfortunately that's not enough in the eyes of the law to formally charge him. So they need more evidence. So we just need a miracle right now from God, because we don't want this guy to be free to do this to somebody else, because he is essentially, changed the rest of her life. This is going to be with her forever. She's not in a good place, obviously, but she's not doing good at all. She was raped several years ago, so this has brought back a lot of painful memories that she already had, in addition to the ones related to this incident. So she's really struggling, and she's been struggling with issues with cutting. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but it's a psychiatric illness where people literally cut themselves, supposedly to that physical pain is better than the mental or emotional pain that they're going through. She's not done that yet, but she has wanted to. I don't know how to help her.
I think you made a good start right here, Lisa. We know that you're good friends with her, and I know you've called your mom about things before, and it's been placed on the altar and prayed over, and you've seen how God can do things, and this is one of those things. I know it hurts because it's beyond you, and it's beyond, your friend to work this out within herself, but we're serving a God who sees all and knows all, and he can. My marriage was destroyed. You know this, and it was God that came in and redeemed the situation to make it to where that I have the relationship that I do with your mother right now. So you saw this. It wasn't anything I could do. Everything I did made it worse. The personalities, it was like mixing water and oil. But that's one of the great things about serving the Almighty God, because his power is not short, and he is more than willing. And so thank you for calling this in. And we'll pray for strength for you also, because I know what a support you are to people that you care for. Is there anything else that you would like to ask for a prayer request over?
Just for my friend and her husband and her family. They were separated, and I guess through everything that's happened this weekend, she made the decision today to move back home with him. So she's at home now with her husband and her two kids. Just pray for them, because they've really struggled, and this is not going to be easy for them to get through, because he's struggling with anger, because he wants to, he wants to kill the guy that did this, but he's really having a hard time dealing with his anger right now. But he leaves at 3:30 in the morning to go on a missions trip with his dad to Costa Rica. So I think that'll be good for him. He'll be gone for 10 days, so just pray for them. They need it.
Well, thank you again for calling and sharing that with us, Lisa. And you can be sure that was going to be right on the top of our prayer request tonight. And is there anything else while we got you on the line?
No, that's all for tonight. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling, Lisa. Oh, it rips your heart, doesn't it, to just realize you know, we're so blessed with certain things in our life that there's real world out there, and Satan, like I say, he's going overtime. He's faithful to do his job. And so that's what I'm saying. I think it's time for us to draw a line in the sand and say enough and get passionate and not just be committed, but be, you know, put our emotion and our heart into what we're saying and what we're doing. Do we have anybody else, Starla?
Yeah, I believe Rocky's on the line.
Hey.
Hey there, Brother Rocky.
I'm doing good. How y'all tonight?
Pretty good.
I tell you what, listen, Lisa, it's just heartbreaking. It really is. I had a friend that was raped, and, you know, you get the anger and you get that, you know, want to go out and do something, you know, but the answer isn't go out there to do that to them. You know, we're not the ones that got to judge them, you know. The Lord's going to do what he's got to do with that situation at hand. As far as situations like that, it's just heartbreaking, though. I just can't believe how somebody can do that to somebody.
Yes. Did you have a prayer request or something, or scripture or something for tonight? Maybe a song for us?
Well, I just want, you know, I want to pray for your mom, of course. You know, she's been, like I said, inspiration every time I say it. I have to say it every time because she is. And the Smith family that's in Ohio with their son tonight, they did the surgery. I don't know if you might talk to your mom or not, but they did remove all the tumor out of little Gable's head today. So he was moving around, they said. So I want to pray for the Smith family and my pastor.
Okay. Was Sister Holland able to go up there with them this trip? I didn't know if she was or not.
Yeah, Sister Holland went, and Brother Shield went. And I think Brother Tipton, I don't know if you know Brother Tipton or not, but Brother Tipton went.
Okay.
There was like 13 pastors, I think, went.
Wow.
And also,
and
I
here again is another example, you know, Brother Smith and his wife are both used mightily in ministry. And I feel like this is just attack against the ministry. You know, like this is just some of the many things that I'm hearing is happening, you know, with like this. And it's like I'm saying, you know, it's I can't think of anything that hurt worse than something that happened to one of my kids. And to go through what they went through. But the report we got today, like you say, was positive. But we are going to remember Gabe and the Smith family in prayer. He's a very special young man. How old is he?
Gabe is 9 years old.
9 years old.
They get one doctor getting no hope at all. Then they found this doctor that, you know, which we know doctors ain't going to be like God. God's going to give us, he's going to give us our miracles. And, you know, the Smith family, they love the Lord. They worship the Lord with all they have. That's their life, is living for the Lord. You know, and they bring that upon their children also. So, you know, one doctor saying no, there's always going to be hope, though.
That's right. Yeah, we're
but also,
whose report are we going to believe? Man's report or God's report?
Well, I just also want to pray for your show because you've really been an inspiration to me listening to y'all's show.
Well, thank you. We enjoy you calling in. You're always a blessing to us, too. And I want to thank you for all the support that you're giving with the clubhouse down there. I know that Blog Talk Mom's health has not been the best, you know, but she feels an urgency to do the work of what she has a calling in her life to do. And so it's one of those things. And Carmen had a song that he was talking about that where he said Satan bite the dust. He made like this little Western thing. And he put it in there. He said, I'm tired of the spirit of affliction in our churches, you know, of all the things that come in. And there is a spirit of affliction. I mean, I understand we get older and things change with time, but, you know, I've never once seen God ask us to do something that he didn't make a way for us to do it when we lean on him, ever.
That's right. That's right.
That's
all I got tonight for y'all. Y'all have a good night.
All right. Thank you for calling, Brother Rocky.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Do we have anyone else, Carla?
Not so far.
Is Blog Talk Mom even on tonight?
She is.
Well, go ahead and bring her on then, because I know she's got something to share.
Blog Talk Mom, you're on.
Well, thank you. It's good to hear your wonderful voice, Sister Starla, and Wild Bill. I hope this phone, it's not been doing too good today, so can you hear me pretty good?
Hear you loud and clear.
Okay, that's good. Would want to mention, too, about Brother Rocky's brother, Brother Marcus and his wife, Sister Bridget, a murderer name, and they have come along and done an unbelievable amount of work at the clubhouse, from laying carpet to cleaning to picking up to working in Sunday school. And Brother Rocky, I think, talking about prayers, you know, his life is a prayer. It's a letter, an epistle, the Bible says, and anyone can look at his life and see what God's done, which is an answer to prayer. I was talking to someone today about how the Lord didn't really let my path cross a lot of my friends when I first got it in church. You know, it just seemed like I had to go a different way. But then after a while, they would come back in my life, and I think they probably had the thought, if God could turn my life around, he could turn anybody's life around. You know, it inspired them, because I really was a very confused and unhappy and had a lot of problems for sure. And I wanted to say this, that the young lady that had the tragedy is very blessed to have someone like Lisa, because you could feel the compassion and empathy and love that she has for this friend. And I believe that, you know, a friend is born for the day of adversity, and Lisa may be the very one that intercedes and stands in the gap for healing for her friend, because I know, you know, in the work that I do, there's so many molestations, rapes, that type of just, I guess you'd say, perversion. And you see people come through it. They can. C.S. Lewis said that pain is a megaphone that gets the attention of humanity, that God uses to get the attention of humanity. We don't really think that much about sexy movies and sexy clothes and all of the doors that are wide open to stimulate men until something like this happens. And if we're not careful, we'll throw rocks without, you know, like Jesus said, he just without sin, let him throw the first stone. We're all, if we don't pray and we don't do our part, we can be at least, like you said, Wild Bill, we're not drawing that line. You know, we're not saying, you know, this, you're not Satan, you're not going to steal this. You're not going to kill, steal, and destroy. Because, you know, the Lord said, greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. So we do have that power to draw from. I wanted to give one little illustration, if we have time.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was speaking to a friend this week, and she wanted to ask me several questions, she said. And she, one of the questions she said is just, well, why did God even make us? I mean, what's the deal? And then some other people came around, and we got away from that conversation. Then a few minutes later, she said, the same friend said, I love my mother so much. Her mother's an invalid. And she said, we never were close that much, but, you know, now that I'm living there and I take care of her, I love her so much. And she said the other day, and both of them are pretty heavy, you know, pretty large women, she said, I just got up in the bed and I just put my arms around my mother and I hugged her and loved on her and told her how much I loved her. And just, you know, went on and on about how the affection that was exchanged. And then later on, she said, now, what I asked you a while ago, why did God even make us? And I said, remember the story you told about you and your mom? I said, that's why God made us. He loves us. He wants to be close to us. He wants us to seek him first. He wants us to return to him the love and devotion that he has so openly displayed. When it was by his stripes, we're healed. He was wounded for what? Our transgressions. You know, he wants us to know that and realize that, not as a, well, you better make it up to me, but that's how much I love you, he says to his creation. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And so now we have an option. We can either curse the darkness, or we can light a candle. I love that saying. I don't remember who first said it. But every one of us, every person on the face of this earth has, every day, has an opportunity to light a candle. If nothing else, but shutting himself aside in that closet of prayer and asking God to move on different situations.
It's not just an opportunity, really. Is it not really our place in this time of darkness? Are we not to be that light shining out in darkness? You know, the salt that has savor. If not, we can just, you know, be thrown out and trodden under the feet of men. I mean, that's what we were created for, is to worship God. You know, the Great Commission is to be a light and be a witness, you know, where he gave us the Holy Ghost, it was to help us be an overcomer, but the Bible lets us know it's to be a witness. You know, that's what that gift of the Holy Spirit was for, not just something to give us warm, fuzzy feelings, you know, when we're in the church or God's moving. You know, it's meant to give us power over situations. And I don't know about, well, I know you're not that way, but I know in my life, many times it seemed like I would take two steps backwards and one step forward. And I learned a long time ago, in living for God, you don't stand still. You're either going forward or you're going back. And I spent times in my life where I was running from God. You know, I was living large, you know, supercharged, like I tell the young people sometimes. I was just full of myself. And, you know, I was looking for having fun and things that just fed my flesh, you know, that went from day to day. And in doing that, in feeding my flesh, what I found out is that that's not doing anything for anything eternal. And somewhere at the end of that road, there's always a payday. There's always an accounting that's going to take place for our actions and what we do. But I'm so glad that God loved me so much that he paid my bill so that I'm not made accountable for all those things, and that we can join together as two or three. And we can speak things in faith and power, not just speaking them in faith, but speaking them in power, his power, that he's going to move in these situations. And, you know, I know that a lot of times when I miss the things of God, it's because I'm out of position. And so I want to encourage everybody. And my largest regret, my biggest regret, is that I didn't really start dedicating my life to God sooner, that I didn't take the things that I had learned as a child and start applying those sooner. But I'm so thankful that God had mercy and that he loved me so much, and I had a praying mother that prayed for me. And I can't tell you how many times when I was away doing my own thing where I'd be in a situation, all of a sudden I'd feel the Holy Ghost. I'd feel a stir and I wouldn't understand. And maybe I would slow down and go around a curve and there'd be a truck jacking off to cross the road. And I saw where a motorcycle went up under it and the driver was decapitated. And I had a car with big old wide tires on it that if I'd have been driving like normal, there's no way I could have stopped, that I would have went right up underneath that tractor trailer truck also. And so I'm so thankful that God had mercy for me in my life, that I would tell anyone, please don't be like I did. Tonight when we're praying all these prayer requests and things, you don't have to be in a church. You can find your own little place of privacy, and you can make your altar to God, and you can take the things that are wrong and ask him to make them right, because we can't make them right. Only he can make those things right. He wants us to come as we are. He don't expect us to make changes in our life to be perfect before we come to him. You know, that's why the veil was torn. We go straight to that throne room. And so I really pray that anyone that listens to this on the radio, or, I mean, on the blog, on the internet, you know, later or tonight, or those on the phone, that God can do something personal with each and every one of us tonight. Did you have anything else, Blog Talk Mom, real quick?
No, I really enjoyed the program, and Brother Rocky mentioned about little Gabe, and the doctors are just sure, and they did several MRIs during the surgery, and all of the tumor was a fast-growing tumor, and they got it all, and the pathologist didn't back with all of the reports, but it looks like God has just totally been right there, and to support the family and to lift them up, and God is just such a good God. I want to share real quick. I went out to eat. Sister Kaiser took me to a place I don't normally go to, and it was real nice, and there were about eight or nine really lovely young women, and they were sitting around a table, looked like maybe a birthday party or something. And I felt led to go over last night and just tell them about Gabe. And they were just so precious. They just listened. They're probably 18, 19, 20 years old, each of them. And so as they got ready to leave, they gathered around our table, and they said, "Can we pray now?" And I said, "Well, sure." So I, Sister Kaiser and I stood up, and one of the girls, she said, "May I lead the prayer?" And she began to pray the most precious prayer. I mean, you would have thought it was her loved one. And you could feel that peace when she did that. So everything, all things work together for good. And God does hear and answer prayer.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Blog Talk Mom. We're going to leave your mic on when we do the prayer. And I think I'm going to try to lead the prayer tonight. I'm not going to put you on the spot there. But I do want you, you know, if you feel something, you know, in the spirit to interject or something like that, to know that you're going to be, you know, live with us, you know, during our prayer. And I asked, many of you heard Brother Lee Stevens. He came on the show and gave his testimony. And, you know, he shared how God had blessed him and moved him into having a ministry in his life. And then he came back and shared a sermon with us. It was one of the best sermons of this time that I've heard in a long time, and it was such a blessing. And he shared with us about God who gave him such a wonderful wife. And I've asked her to do something that's really, really hard to do. And I've asked her, she's got a song that she sings at our church. And I've asked her if she would to try to sing that on the Blog Talk show tonight. And so if she's ready, I'd like for Sister Dacia Stevens to sing that song with us. And if she has anything she'd like to say first, it's up to you, Sister Dacia.
Well, thank you, Brother Bill. It is an honor to get to be part of your show tonight. I have enjoyed listening, and I will definitely pray with you all, too. So I hope this song ministers to someone. It is a special song to me because there is power in the name of Jesus. So just I hope that this ministers to somebody tonight. Jesus, the most beautiful name of all names. Jesus, the only name that brings healing and strength. When I speak your name, mountains move, chains are loose. When I speak your name, darkness flees. It has no hold on me. Jesus, the most beautiful name that I know. You're the exalted one. Jesus, oh, you have the power alone. You live the the most wonderful name of all names. Ooh, Jesus, the only name that brings freedom and hope. When I speak your name, mountains move, chains are loosed. When I speak your name, darkness flees. It has no hope. hold on me, Jesus, the most beautiful name that I know. You're the exalted one, Lord Jesus. Oh, you have the power alone. You lift the lonely one, Jesus. Be exalted, be exalted, be exalted. Higher and higher, be exalted, be exalted, be exalted, higher and higher. No other name, no other name I know, no other name, no other name I know, no other name. No other name I know. No other name, no other name I know. No other name, no other name I know. No other name, no other name I know.
His name's Jesus, and I'm thankful that I know that name.
Thank you so much, Sister Daisha, for singing that song. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I tell you what, y'all have to excuse me here. I was crying during that song. I tell you, that's what it all comes down to is Jesus. It's His love. It's His mercy. It's His power. It's His grace. That's what we're seeking after. We want to be more like Him, but more than that, we want to be with Him. We don't want to miss that boat. We don't want to miss that call. And I'm going to go ahead and does anyone else have a prayer request right quick, Starla, before we go into prayer? Did you have anyone else? I think Starla's been down there on her knees playing already.
I'm sorry. I had my mic turned off. Anyway, no, I don't see anybody.
Okay. Well, if everyone would, if you're just right there where you are, if you'll just, you know, kind of make an altar, and we're going to take these prayer requests before the Almighty God. And, you know, the Bible says where any two or three come together, and I don't think that means that we have to be in the same room. We can use technology. We're all together in one mind and one accord in Jesus' name, and we're going to pray over these things. Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you for this program tonight. We thank you for the way you've led us in this direction. Lord, for Lisa calling in, you know how it stirred our hearts. Lord, but more than that, we want your will in this situation. Give Lisa the words of wisdom and the strength for her friend. But more than that, let her be a leader to guide her closer to you. Let her be that light that shows her that the only type of restoration she can have is through your grace and your power and through that blood that you shed that can make perfect healing. It can give peace of mind. Those stripes, Lord, that you took that we could be healed. Lord, we believe in faith that you're going to move in this situation. We've come in before your throne boldly. Lord, for these attacks against ministers and ministry that's been going on that we've witnessed, for afflictions and things that's going against them. Lord, right now, in your name, Jesus, through your authority, through the power of your spirit, Lord, we believe that you're going to go out and put a hedge around your ministry. Then, Lord, this light is going to shine brighter than it ever has before in this darkness that's around us. Lift us up to that rock that is higher than what we are. Lord, in this time where our government seems to be turning further and further against the things of God, Lord, we pray that you touch their hearts, that you touch their minds. Lord, that you direct them back to the things that are more pleasing to the kingdom and to you. Lord, you let us know that if we, your people, will humble ourselves, and we bow down before you, that you can heal our lands. And, Father, we come before you, and we pray, Father, that you move on these situations. We thank you, Lord, for what you've already done for the Smith family. Lord, where you've helped them through the hardship of what they've been through so far. But, Lord, more than that, we know that there's still more to come with this, where it's going to be more clear the miracle that you provided for this family. We pray, Lord, that you bless Gabe so that his recovery is quicker than any that the doctors have ever seen before, that they're going to be astounding, that this can be something, Lord, that you get all the honor and all the glory for what's going through in this situation. Lord, I pray that you touch my heart, my family. Lord, draw us all closer to you. Let us have that first love again to where we just couldn't stand not to be able to hear your word, to be able to hear songs of praise and worship to you. Lord, let this be for all my family, for those seeds, Lord, that was planted deep in their heart and in their mind. I know that, Father, those were deep in my life. And when I ran from you, those were still there. But, Lord, you brought me back, and that seed is bringing forth fruit now in my life. And I know, Lord, for my children and my grandchildren, I claim them right now in the name of Jesus that they're yours, Lord. Satan cannot have them. They belong to my almighty God. And, Lord, we place them on the altar. And, Lord, for all the others that have lost family members, Lord, we agree with them. For Brother Rocky, thank you, Lord, for the blessing that they've been in the ministry that they've helped down there with the clubhouse. But, Lord, more than that, Father, we pray that you give them the full filling of the Holy Ghost in their life to where they're overflowing, to not just where they be a blessing to Rocky, to where the new birth experience takes place, but where they can all work together in ministry to reach out and also to be lives. Lord, for the Smith family, I thank you, Lord, for the ministry that you've had in their lives. I thank you, Lord, for the dedication that they have and the things that I've seen in them. And, Lord, I thank you because I know that your power is moving right now for all these requests that's been spoken, for those that I've forgotten, for those that haven't been spoken, Lord, that people had in their hearts. Lord, I know that your power is going forth because, Jesus, you do not fail. Your power is not limited. It's not like a magic spell, Lord. It's grace and mercy and love that goes forth when we cry out to you that you touch on these things. And when you touch blinded eyes, they're opened. And when you speak to those that can't hear, they can hear. And when you go in storms, those storms are quieted and the seas are stopped. And, Lord, we know that you have all power and your grace and mercy is sufficient. And, Lord, we thank you for this broadcast tonight. I thank you, Lord, for moving in my life to stir me to be closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone agree with me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we have a little bit of time left. Does anyone have anything else they want to share? Total silence. Well, here we are doing a spiritual show tonight, and I really believe with all my heart that there's going, I know in my life there's already been change, and just the Lord speaking to me about this to make it clear that I want to be a warrior for him, that I want to be part of that army. I want to be one of those standing in the gap. And even though God has me out on the road right now making a living, I can make my altar out there on the road, and I can pray over the things in our church. I can pray for the ministry. I can pray for our leaders. And I want to be.
Well, we have a caller. I believe it's
okay.
Mr. Kaiser.
All right.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You guys must have had an awesome program because I've called at least 5 times, and every time I got this message that the program you're trying to listen to is full, and it's called back later. I actually got tuned in with when she was singing that song about Jesus, and it's all about him and all about the name. And
yes.
So I really appreciate the prayers and the prayer requests and everything that I did here, although I've been trying for a long time. It's good to know that a lot of people in foreign countries, and even people in America, they bow to their images, the images of the Virgin Mary. They bow down to the priest. They bow down to, and they pray to idols. You know, the Bible said they have gods that have ears that can't hear and eyes that can't see and no hands that can't touch. But I'm thankful that the God we serve is a God you can feel. A God you know is real, a God that's concerned about every aspect of our lives. And I just appreciate knowing that he's an on-time God. He's a real God. He's a loving God. He's a loving Savior. He's compassionate. And I appreciate his sacrifice for our salvation and for the Holy Ghost, the stripes on his back for our healing. Today we've just talked quite a bit about that. And I just wanted, before you signed off, that's why I was in queue. and waiting, but just couldn't get through. But I like that song that says, "He's an on-time God." Yes, he is. And my mother's favorite song was, "You know, I can call Jesus anytime."
Yes.
So we just want to say hello to you and praise the Lord and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you for calling in. And, we appreciate all the work that you do in missions and ministry and everything, too. And I don't know, maybe it's just me. I wonder sometimes, but it seems like I can see so much attack against ministry right now. And if there ever was a time that we needed ministry to be lifted up, you know, we as a church and God's, you know, part of the body, we can do that. We have the authority. We can bless the things that need to be blessed, and we can curse the things that need to be cursed. And we can do it all through God's power. And so,
I'm sorry, but Bill, there is a major attack. You know why there's such an attack on the ministry? Is this the Bible says, how can they believe on him in whom they have not seen? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they be preached except they be sent? So God sends out ministry, but the attack, the devil's programming as well, if I can hinder the ministry, then the people can't hear the word. But God is wiser than that and smarter than that. And he's going to lift up people with health and strength in their body and going to give us many souls in the last days. I believe it.
That's right. I really believe, just like a soldier in combat, that we have to make up our mind that we're going to draw a line in the sand. And that's what the Lord's been dealing with me today and saying, no more.
That's
not
it.
In my life. You know, I can't go out there and save somebody, and I can't go out there and fix things that are broke, but God can. And through on my knee. I'm sorry?
Not on my watch. It's not going to happen on my watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
and it takes a mentality to do that, too. It's not just, it's got to be more than words.
Sure, absolutely.
Did you have anything else for us, sister?
No, I just want to say thank you all again. And I know that I was trying to get in to get that prayer request in for Sister Rita Gillum's sister Sheila. I haven't talked to Sister Rita in the last couple of days, but Sister Rita, for listening tonight, I want you to know that we have been having continued prayer for Sister Sheila, her husband Bill, and their son Preston. And Sister Sheila's facing a dealing with a thing with cancer, but God is bigger than that. So anyway, just keep her in your prayers continually, please.
Yes, I forgot to mention our military men and women, too. You know, we had someone came in the chat room and spoke with us, let us know that they were listening over the Internet while they was over in Iraq or Afghanistan, and they just lost a fellow soldier that day, you know, that they were serving with. And so those are things that we need to keep on our altar. Not just, you know, we talked about this before. This is not just a lifestyle that we get into where we share testimonies with the saints and we sit there and we pray for each other in the church, but it needs to be an outreach of what God's doing in our life to those that are in need and those that are lost. And so it's just, we have the power. We have the authority. It's just up to us to put it in gear with faith and use it. Well, I want to thank everyone again. Okay, go ahead.
Hello? 8089?
Mr. Kaiser, we had a real good service Sunday night. My pastor actually had a minister from Missouri that for the last 2 years has been had a very big success rate of praying for people with cancer and them receiving their healing. We had an awesome, awesome service Sunday, and I'm claiming my healing. He just said go through every day and just say I am healed, and that's what I'm holding on to. But I also know that there's, you know, it's not an instantaneous healing, so I know there's going to be days whenever I'm still hurting, which I am right now. But just pray that I won't let the devil discourage me in any way, that I'll just hold on to that.
Yes, we do keep you in prayer, sister. I'm sorry I forgot to mention your name when we were doing the prayer, but you can be sure that you're on our prayer list always. And
thank
you for calling in, listening to the program, and we're with you. We're believing for a miracle.
Victory in Jesus.
Yes, that's right. Did you have something else for us there, brother?
No.
Okay, well, I do
just
appreciate talking
you.
Well, God bless you.
We love listening to your program.
Well, thank you. Well, I want to thank you for calling in tonight. We're right up here at the end of our time. But I want to thank everyone for the people that we've called out and those that we may have missed, to remember them in prayer and take time every day to find a place between you and God to keep these things on the altar and pray for these things, believing and knowing that He can and He will do them, and that's where we're going to find results. God bless all of you that called in, and we'll be back with you next week.
Read it. Read it.